Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren with WFIU, WTIU News. This week, it's a new month. It's July. We're joined by Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup. Hello and welcome.
Welcome, Joe. Glad to have you back.
Thank you. I hope you had a good fourth. I hear city had what, a fireworks show over the weekend and maybe some other festivities.
There were several fireworks shows, a couple that were sanctioned and several that weren't. But we the ordinance that we have in Columbus says that you're good up to 11 p.m. And most of the stories I've heard indicated that that was followed or pretty close to it. But yeah, we had a couple of community-wide events, and those were well attended. And it was just kind of fun not only to be out, but just to have a little fun on a warm evening. Yeah, celebrate our Independence Day.
So I want to remind everyone you can submit your questions to news@indianapublicmedia.org, or you can tweet us at Ask the Mayor. I haven't seen you in a couple months. We had some scheduling issues on my part. I was on vacation, and I think you were out too at some point. So it is nice to catch up and appreciate your time. But I wanted to kind of start with something that I kind of kept seeing on Twitter and from the newspaper down there in Columbus about the COVID levels were going back up again. Well, everywhere they are, but cases in the hospital seem like that they were starting to go up again. I was hoping you could give us a little bit kind of fill us in on what's going on there.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, the numbers are creeping back up. They're not back to where, they had been. I mean, in terms of hospitalizations, we at one point saw numbers that were in the 50s. And now we're seeing numbers that are in the high single digits to the low teens. And yeah, it's disappointing that we seem to be taking a step backwards. But I think it's kind of the natural progression, which is that we're just going to have to learn to live with this. And so we need to be cautious, all of us do, when we're in and around crowds or with people that you don't know. And just make sure you're vaccinated when the time comes. And if you feel uncomfortable, excuse yourself or wear a mask, just be cautious.
Other news I saw just this past week, we actually had a crew over there to cover the governor's visit to Columbus. It was an official kickoff for allocating READY grant funds, and I believe Nexus Park got close to $7 million. But these are all shovel-ready projects for around the state. This is, of course, just one project there in Columbus. Can you tell us a little bit about the governor's trip to Columbus?
Sure. Number one, it was 6 million. We would have liked
Okay.
7 million, and if there's an extra million out there, we'll find a place to put it. But yeah, when Ready started, we were asked to submit projects that were shovel ready, shovel worthy, and were aspirational. And so our first shovel ready project was Nexus Park. It's something that had been in the works for really a couple of years, and it kind of been slowed by the pandemic. And so we went to the Ready program or the project with a submission that would use their funding to pay for certain public aspects of the building. Now, there'll be an outdoor park. There's always some infrastructure, and when I, it's a fancy word for things like drainage, being able to drain the parking lot, and to the extent that necessary to rebuild a parking lot. There'll be some interior spaces that will be used for some community activities for which there may be a charge, and then we'll have some discounted fees to be paid by those who qualify, and so that allows us to use some of the ready money because it's at the end of the day, these are federal dollars, and so there's typically some kind of a means testing that works its way into the calculus, and so it allows us to make the project move a little quicker. I mean, one of the questions I got from Secretary of Commerce Chambers was, without Ready, would this project have gone forward? And the answer is, well, parts of it would have, because this was a shovel-ready project, and we were prepared to build a field house component, but we also anticipated that there would be several phases to this. Phases, I want to say 2 through 6 or 2 through 7. And what Ready has allowed us to do is to compress all that, and we'll be able to open pretty much the entire facility on day one, and that's. That's kind of exciting. It makes it really as beneficial to the community as it can be. But we were really pleased. While there were other projects that were submitted before Nexus Park, and there were some approvals given, This was the first formal public announcement that they made, and the fact that they came to Columbus to do it, you know, it's kind of heartening, as well as the fact that just they're willing to invest in the project. I mean, they see the value. And so it was sort of like, hey, you know, let us get in on this too, kind of thing. And of course, when it comes to money, we appreciate money, but there's always room for more. And so, we very much welcomed the governor's attendance, as well as Secretary Chambers, and their willingness to explain the fact that part of what Ready wants to do is to improve the quality of Indiana's communities. And I made the comment that businesses, companies move to states, but people move to communities. And so Indiana has done a good job of recruiting businesses to Indiana, but our communities need to be prepared to recruit individuals. And so, it's important for us to offer the recreational and entertainment amenities that people expect today. And this investment by Ready will make a big difference in Columbus. So, yeah, it was just an exciting day. It was fun to have him down. I mean, you don't get to talk, or I don't get to talk to the governor that often. So when I do, it's a great chance to impress him with all we got going on here in Columbus.
And I believe the city even announced a contractor, correct, for Nexus Park?
Yeah, we've worked for some time now with Force Construction. They're going to work under a design and build contract. And so, we meet with them weekly, trying to work through some of the issues with respect to, you know, material selection and, you know, final design, that kind of stuff. And you do that, and you meet that often, really, to make sure that we stay on budget, that we don't inadvertently design something that will prove to be a costly endeavor, you know, in the end. So, you know, we want to stay true to the original budget, because at the end of the day, you only got so much money allotted to this.
And just really quick, what's the timeline on that?
Well, we hope to break ground or begin demolition of what was the former Goodies space sometime in August. I mean, so at the start of next month, and then hopefully be done with the field house by the end of 2023. And so we will hopefully be able to hire some people in anticipation of booking events there in first quarter of 2024.
So that Ready Grant program that we've been talking about, what is a regional effort? What other items are maybe just a couple that are really high on your list that you're excited about?
Sure. We're for Ready, it's a partnership, or our region is a partnership between Bartholomew, Jackson, and Jennings counties. And so we've got, I'll say a half a dozen, but I could be mistaken about the number, projects in each one of the counties that sort of have a regional approach to them. So in Jennings County, for example, they've talked about improvements to Country Squire Lakes. It's a housing development down there that, it's got a mixed reputation. And so part of what the folks in Jennings County need to do is to improve the quality that exists in that little community, in that subdivision. There's also an opportunity for a park in North Vernon that would come out of a former, can't think of the word I want to use, but a quarry. There's an old quarry that's downtown there in North Vernon, and it make an opportunity, or there's an opportunity there to make it into a really neat park with some wall climbing, you know, activities, rock climbing. Younger people enjoy that. So we've got a chance there to have something that you just wouldn't expect to find in Indiana. In Seymour, there's a couple of projects associated with the hospital and some residential construction. Back here in Columbus, again, in addition to Nexus Park, we've talked about the hotel conference center that we hope to build downtown. We've talked about improvements with the riverfront and some other, you know, housing related type activities as well. So it's an opportunity. I mean, again, for the three counties, it's $30 million. We had asked for 50. We've been told that was the original amount that you could apply for. So, you know, we're a little chagrined initially to only get 30, but when you take a look at it on a per person basis, it was the second highest award that the state of Indiana had. So I feel pretty good about what that says about their confidence in us and being able to deliver. And so I think that's part of the reason, you know, that they came here first. I mean, our community has a reputation of being able to pull off big projects. And so, we're happy to be their poster child. And, you know, hopefully that's we get several more announcements like this one.
And the governor kind of hinted to that too, at least in our interview with him, that there might be more money coming up. So we'll have to wait and see. Talk about a little bit about city council meets tonight. This is Tuesday. We do this show on Tuesday. It plays back on Wednesday, but maybe you can kind of preview for us a little bit about the second class city status that the city is looking at. What does that mean? And I believe, is there a vote tonight?
Yes, there is. There will be a vote tonight on what we call second reading. The item in front of us is an ordinance, and in general, ordinances are read and voted upon twice before they are finalized or before they're considered to be law. Indiana divides its cities into three classes. You know, they call them one, two, and three, surprisingly. And there's only one class one city in Indiana, and that is Indianapolis. Then in general, the class two cities are those with a population above 35,000. And the class three cities are those with a population below 35,000. And Columbus crossed the 35,000 threshold in 2000. The census for that year indicated our population was around 39. And so we've had the opportunity for about 22 years now to class up, if you will, and go from a three to a two. Our population now is about 50,000, and by best we can tell, that makes us the largest class three city in Indiana, because we've never quite gotten around, you know, to making the switch. So we introduced an ordinance at the last city council meeting. It was approved 6-1, and I anticipate a similar result tonight. I mean, you don't know till you know, but we've not been given any indication that some of the people are going to change their votes. The basic difference will be that there will be a change in some elected positions. We will go from 7 city council members to 9, and we will change the clerk treasurer's role. It'll be split into a clerk's role and into a controller's role. The clerk will be elected, much like the clerk treasurer is today and the mayor is today. The clerk will be elected. The controller will be appointed, they'll be hired. And really, it'll be much like what we have, say, in our engineering department, where we hire a professional engineer to manage the, you know, the engineering department. In the planning department, we hire a professional planner, urban planner, you know, to manage that department. So in the finance department, we will hire a controller. And hopefully, you know, that will provide us going forward with maybe the financial oversight that we're looking for. You know, the city of Columbus is an $84 million a year operation, and that's just a lot of money. There's a lot of moving parts, and we need to make sure that we've got, you know, quality folks in that role. We've been very fortunate over the last several decades to be well served by clerk treasurers. Our current clerk treasurer, Lou Ann Welmer, and her immediate predecessor, Brenda Sullivan, both very capable ladies and done a wonderful job. Brenda's predecessor wasn't quite as good a relationship. I mean, it was a little difficult. And as we look around to other communities in Indiana that have made this switch, we often find that was sort of the defining item. You know, that the communities wanted to get a little bit different professionalism in the clerk treasurer's department. Not trying to say anything wrong with what we've got, but just trying to be prepared for what comes next. And as I say, increased growth on a budget that's already a significant amount by itself. So I expect that will come forward tonight, and you should know the answer sometime around 6:20 p.m. this evening.
All right, we'll have to follow up on that. I also wanted to get your take on, I believe there's a tax abatement for Meridium internet, high-speed internet, that's been something that has gone through Bloomington City Council. We talked to the mayor about Mayor John Hamilton in Bloomington, and it sounds like a very similar proposal in Columbus.
Right. The John Hamilton called me at this point, I don't know, a year ago or been quite a while, and indicated that, you know, Bloomington had been looking for a more robust internet service for some time. Had not had any success, had finally come up with this company called Meridium, who was interested in coming to Bloomington in South Central Indiana, but needed a little bit bigger field to play on. And so wanted to make a $100 million investment, which, you know, is a lot of money, and really sort of exceeded what you could spend in Bloomington. And so John's thought was, well, maybe the folks in Columbus might have an interest, and they called me, and sure enough, you know, we are interested. We also added to the collaboration Martinsville and Shelbyville, so that Meridium could sort of see, could achieve its investment target. And we've added further the county of Bartholomew. So what we're looking at now is a collaboration among Bloomington, Columbus, Shelbyville, Martinsville, and Bartholomew County to install high-speed internet throughout. Fiber to the home is the phrase we use. And this will be 1 gig symmetrical, means 1 gig up, 1 gig down. And it's kind of important in today's world because, as I think we had talked earlier, there's really two things that, from our perspective, that are driving this. One is e-learning. One of the things we learned during the pandemic was that some of our students struggle to have adequate internet, or to have internet, number one, at home, and then for that internet to be adequate in terms of speed. This will take care of that. You know, the 1 gig will be available for a fee, but for a reduced fee or no fee, you get 250 megabytes up and down. So, you know, an opportunity to improve or to enhance the opportunities for e-learning. The second thing we talk about is remote workers. You know, Columbus, as well as Bloomington and the other communities that I mentioned, are interested in trying to attract remote workers. And one of the things that will be a requirement is world-class internet speed. I mean, you can't work remotely and not have access through Zoom or WebEx or one of these other platforms to whatever kind of meeting or data that you need. So we feel it's kind of important for Columbus and the other communities feel similar to have that investment, to have that option here. So Ark City Council will be asked to abate the property taxes that would otherwise be charged over the next 20 years. It's an unusual request. I mean, this will be the only request we've received of that nature. You know, we routinely grant tax abatements, and part of what we tell ourselves is that, but for the abatement, the investment would not happen. And there's no clearer case of that than right here. I mean, if we're not able to provide Meridium with a little bit of relief from property taxes, you know, they're just not going to do this. And so it's a requirement, if you will, for all the communities to kind of work together. And what we've been faced with, I mean, 95% abatement for 20 years is the same economics that have been present in Bloomington, you know, Shelbyville and Martinsville. I mean, it's really no different than what those communities have already offered or provided to Meridium. Bloomington took the route of pursuing a TIF bond. We're going to go with a tax abatement, which is my understanding what they did in Martinsville and Shelbyville. And it's just another way of getting at the same thing, you know, which is to minimize the tax that these people would pay. I think one of the things, though, to keep in mind, and I don't know how closely you followed the last legislative session, but the state of Indiana has identified the business personal property tax for extinction. I mean, there was a bill, there have been bills introduced, but the one in the last session had some push behind it to eliminate the business personal property tax. And had the legislature been able to find a way to replace that revenue, I think that tax would have gone away. So, you know, and I've been told, and you can hear lots of different things, but I'm pretty confident that the legislature will do everything it can to find a way to get rid of that tax sometime in the next couple of years. So the thought that, you know, we're looking at a 20-year arrangement is probably a little bit far-fetched. I just don't think that tax is going to be around that long. So, you know, if you think that we're giving up $4 million or so dollars, it's not going to be that great. At least I don't think so. Anyway, that'll come before our city council tonight, and we'll see, you know, whether the council wants to go ahead and follow the lead that Bloomington, Shelbyville, and Martinsville have already set forward.
And this is the first reading?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tonight. Okay.
The council will have had to act on this. And it's a little convoluted. I mean, there's a couple of decisions that have to be made in preparation. I mean, the economic revitalization area has to be declared and be defined as the wire or the fiber optic cable. And then we get to the actual abatement.
And I know we only have a few minutes left, but I did want to ask too about that. I know a little bit came up in Bloomington City Council. I mean, you have private, you know, Comcast, AT&T, who say that they've been laying fiber for years or feel like that this is an unfair competitive advantage for Meridiam and other providers? I mean, is that something that they've already hit 85% of people in, Bloomington, per se? I don't know about Columbus.
Right.
Things like that might come up too. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, AT&T and Comcast are, we're glad they're in the community. And they provide 100% coverage in Columbus. You can get the internet wherever you are. Now, the price of the internet and the quality, the speed will vary based upon where you are. And we've not been shared. There are no plans have been shared with us from either of those providers to address the areas that I would consider to be brown. We don't have any black areas in Columbus, but we've got a couple of brown ones. And so Meridiam has come forward and is willing to do that. And so that's why their arrangement is what it is.
Before we go, I have to ask, because the convention center, you mentioned this earlier in our interview today, I wanted to kind of just quickly revisit that in Columbus. I know Terre Haute just opened theirs. Monroe County is stalled, but their hopes now, I'm starting to hear, of returning to it this year. Columbus took a pause after the pandemic. I think hired a consultant to study the need parameters for one there. Did that come out?
Yeah. As you mentioned, we had a plan and candidly, I thought we were pretty close to signing the documents to get the developer and the hotel chain on board. And the pandemic intervened and that all got set aside for about 2 years, or a little bit longer now. I think that started in March of 2020. So now we're in July of 2022. You're right. We hired a consultant, the same guy we had talked to previously, to come back and sort of help us reconsider, number one, whether a hotel conference center still made sense. And then number two, what the appropriate size should be. I mean, we want to try to size it correctly with respect to the types of events that might be held there and their frequency. And so the consultant said, the world has changed. Business travel has changed. But the convention business that we were talking about, the number of visitors and so forth, would still continue to support what we want to do in the downtown area here. And in fact, he suggested that we build it a little bit bigger than what we had previously discussed. So we've taken that information and shared it with the developers that we had previously identified. And we're going to meet with them again tomorrow. Hopefully, the conversations will continue and, we can see where this project goes. But that's been a bit of a challenge to keep that project alive, and I'm glad to be able to bring it back forward and get a little momentum behind it.
Thanks so much for your time. Any other last minute announcements or anything else you'd like to say?
No, I just I caution everybody to stay safe from the heat. Here in Columbus, we've got a number of public buildings, and I always mention the Commons. It's air conditioned, and if you have a need to get to an air conditioned place for a little while, feel welcome to go down there. And the great thing about the Commons is there's entertainment. There's always kids running around there on the playground. And so you can just, watch them and sort of enjoy your time there as well. So just stay cool. So, take care of yourself.
Thank you. Hope to see you next month.
Take care. Will do. Bye.